Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. 9.05 on the clock on this 17th of February. Got your host, James J. I am joined by Katrina Hintner.
Hello.
Good to have you here, Kat. Thanks so much for being with us this morning. Mm-hmm. Want to say good morning to our friends at Family Natural Foods, opening their doors right around now.
Yeah. They should be open.
Stop on by, head on over there, everybody, and say hi. Good morning to the staff over there for us.
Mm-hmm.
Going to get into some entertainment news to kick things off. And for those that did not hear, Ryan Seacrest is leaving Live with Kelly and Ryan after six seasons.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be replaced by Kelly Ripa's husband, Mark Consolas.
Oh, well, that'll be fun dynamic.
I think he has guest hosted before in that show. I could not tell you the last time I saw daytime TV.
Yeah, I
imagine you're in a similar boat. We're usually pretty busy, like a lot of people out there around that time of day and everything. But I do know back in the day, I used to see Regis and Kelly a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever like Robin Williams or somebody that I love would be on those shows, I would watch. And I always loved their dynamic.
Yes.
You know, Kelly, she's very, very good at just speaking in general, let alone her presenting herself and the way that she carries a conversation and all these things. And she's just real natural at it.
Yes.
One of the most natural I think I've ever seen at interviewing or anything. I think Kelly Ripa is very good at that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Regis was just this firecracker.
Yes.
I'm out of control.
Yeah.
It was all over the place. He was great.
Yes.
I thought they were missing that dynamic. Ryan Seacrest is incredibly good at what he does.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why everybody in the world knows who he is.
Right.
He's been doing this for a long time. He's a great MC and he does a really good job with stuff. I would actually make the argument that he may be even better at radio than he is at the stuff that you see him do on TV and everything.
Sure.
So that's where he got to start, was radio.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Okay.
But with this combination, I agree with you. I think that you get that little bit of a who knows? I imagine that stuff is going to bubble over from the house to the show.
Well,
and
this morning, you guys didn't know. But
yes,
I can see that kind of bringing back a little bit of that Regis dynamic, but in a different way.
Yeah, yeah. They really enjoyed working together. It's more, it's one of those things where I think Ryan has got other projects that he wants to do, and he's a very sought-after guy.
Yeah.
It's kind of impressive that he's been able to do this show as long as he has. Because scheduling wise, doing a show like that Monday through Friday, like if you are an actor, good luck. You're not going to be able to, sign a project because there's no repeats. Well, there's repeats, but they don't really take a time off. They maybe take a month off in the summer or something like that, but it's a pretty year-round gig.
Absolutely.
So having somebody like that on, Mark isn't acting as much anymore. I know he was on American Idol, it says. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Ryan is hosting American Idol. Mark was, I know he was on the soaps for a long time.
That's how he got.
He retired, I believe. Or I think that's how they met, was on the soap opera or something like that.
Right.
Because she comes from that world too, I believe.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right.
I imagine that will be successful.
Yeah.
I actually admire the choice. They could have gone with a lot of names.
Yeah.
I know Michael Strahan and people like that, names were floated around.
Mm-hmm.
To go with her husband, I think, is a nice fit.
And it's also brave too, because you get a lot of time with that person, and then like hosting a show, and it's kind of brave, like working with your partner.
Yeah.
I mean, there's those dynamics that can bubble over, good or bad. So, yeah.
It's such an interesting concept, the idea of living and working with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I that's such a case-by-case thing. Some people make that work. Some people, I don't think it's good. It's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But, I think that they wouldn't make this decision if they didn't want to and they didn't think it would be healthy for them because they didn't have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't as if nobody wants to host a show with Kelly Ripa.
Right, exactly.
There's a lot of people that
I'm
are begging
sure
to do
is.
That job.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We move to my second favorite action star of all time, Mr. Bruce Willis. Bruce Lee, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Willis, number two. I never really realized until it was like 10 years ago, the Bruce thing. I don't know if I realized that in my head, but love Bruce Willis and very hard news to report. We knew Bruce Willis wasn't doing well health-wise. The family issued a statement yesterday revealing that he's now been diagnosed with frontoporal dementia, also known as FTD. And it's been hindering his ability to communicate. It was a year ago next month that Bruce announced he was retiring after being diagnosed with a neurological disorder called aphasia. He's 67 years old. In a statement, the family said, as Bruce's condition advances, we hope that any media attention can be focused on the shining a light on the disease that needs far more awareness and research. Mm-hmm. Bruce has given a lot to the entertainment world. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's asking a lot when it comes to these things. Because I understand curiosity, and I understand mm-hmm. curiosity with celebrities, and it's a mixed bag. Mm-hmm. The reason Bruce Willis got the money he did, got the fame that he did, and everything else is because people liked Bruce Willis. They go to see Bruce Willis movies.
Yep.
That's how actors get you to come to our movies is, you know, by sharing things and by mm-hmm. being, you know, in interviews and all that stuff and everything. Then there's a line in the sand to me where, you know, you just... I don't believe that we need to know who's dating who, mm-hmm. that we need to know how, you know, when somebody's having a kid or they're pregnant or any mm-hmm. of these things. Now, if they share that stuff,
yeah,
whole different ballgame. Mm-hmm. But the idea of the paparazzi or TMZ or anything hunting mm-hmm. these people down, we didn't learn anything from the Princess Diana situation.
Right.
As a kid, I thought the one silver lining of that moment was, well, maybe our society will stop wanting to read National Enquirer and watching these shows and taking all this gossip in and everything.
Yes.
And it's only gotten worse.
Right.
TMZ has a channel. I can't think of a job that I have less respect for in the world, in the whole world. Every job you can think of, number one on the list of least respectful to me is that job, is mm-hmm. working at TMZ, is being these people that are just running around going through people's garbage, trying to, and not just a physical garbage, but, you know, their life garbage.
Yes.
And trying to, you know, make, I don't know what they're necessarily...
They're capturing moments and putting assumptions to things, too.
It's tacky, it's lame, it's cowardly, and it's not even journalism. It's not even good reporting.
No.
Half this stuff doesn't even turn out to be true mm-hmm. Or real. Mm-hmm. They were talking about Bruce Willis before anybody knew about his health, and a lot of the TMZ guys and those people mm-hmm. were talking about this theory and this theory. They had no idea.
Right.
And they weren't anywhere near the right. They weren't anywhere near right about it. Because mm-hmm. A lot of people probably wouldn't think of a 67-year-old man dealing with this stuff.
Right.
The important thing to focus on when you have those curiosities is what his family is asking you to do. If you're really curious about mm-hmm. something, well, maybe learn a little bit more about dementia.
Absolutely.
Maybe learn a little bit more about Alzheimer's and the difference between those two mm-hmm. things and how they affect the brain,
yep.
how you can maybe prevent it from happening to you mm-hmm. and how we can maybe get people in office that are going to put more funding towards killing this disease.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, diseases are running game around us. Mm-hmm. While we fight about Republicans and Democrats and this and that and everything, these diseases are just laughing at us.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, we're all focused on Bruce Willis. Oh, what does Bruce look like now? Mm-hmm. Oh, we got to see. And bring him down a notch
yeah.
or whatever. Maybe we look a little bit more into Alzheimer's yeah. and trying to figure out why these things are happening and how we can prevent them happening to other people we care about.
Absolutely.
Looking into the next story, Guy Fieri did something kind of interesting here, which is, I guess, that could be anything. It's Guy Fieri.
Right?
All he does is interesting things. Guy Fieri made his son Ryder drive an old minivan for a year before he could upgrade to a different car. The condition was that he couldn't get any tickets for this year in this minivan. Well, his son did it, so Guy set up a scavenger hunt for his birthday to reveal the big gift. It was his older brother Hunter's truck that he'd been wanting. Guy paid for it, and Ryder paid for the other half, and Guy had it taken to get detailed. He said, quote, I've never seen him happier about a gift he was getting. I mean, what is the gift? The gift is, hey, you have to pay half of the money, we'll pay for the other half, and he got really excited.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't just feel like he was given something, he mm-hmm. earned something. He
yeah.
worked for it.
Cool.
And that's a guy who could easily give his son everything he wants.
I was just going to say, like, this is, he's teaching his children life lessons instead of being like, yeah, what do you want? Let's choose it together. Oh, yeah, do all the upgrades and you're thousands of dollars later. What a cool lesson to, hey, one, you're going to be in this minivan. You're going to learn some be a little humble there. Teenager in a minivan. And then two, like, you have to pay for part of this. It's not assumed. And that's really great.
That's a good lesson, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially seeing that from somebody that you know, that, again, could buy his kid anything he wants, I imagine. And,
right.
you know, still making him learn the lesson there.
Mm-hmm.
going to take a look at what is new in theaters real quick here. Limited release, Devil's Peak. That is an R-rated movie with Sean Penn and Robin Wright in it. Billy Bob Thornton is in it as well. But limited release. And in part because nothing wants to come out right now because Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, rated PG-13, is being released today. And nobody wants to compete with Marvel.
Yeah,
nobody wants to go up against a Marvel movie. No.
Probably smart.
The third installment of this movie, Paul Rudd is back as Scott Lang. We love Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd's awesome. Mm-hmm. Michael Douglas and Michelle Pfeiffer are also in this one. And the, a name that if you don't know it, you will by this time next year, if not sooner. Mm-hmm. He will be a household name. I put money on that. Jonathan Majors is playing the villain in King the Conqueror. Jonathan Majors is one of the better actors I have seen in the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. So dang talented. The man is built like a brick house, handsome for all day, and incredibly talented. Like one of these natural actors that just looks like this is what he was born to do.
Right.
He's so talented. It looks really, really good, and it's setting up everything for Marvel's fifth phase, for them going forward with the next set of movies and TV shows and all that. I'm curious to see how it does in the box office because, you know, Black Panther, the movie, had a lot going for it, going into it, and it still blew people away as far as the movie and the how much money it brought in. This one's a little more of a niche thing. And I'm not as positive that it's going to be a huge, huge box office success. I think it's one of those ones where Marvel does it right, where they don't try to play to everybody. They play to their fan base, and they hope they bring some people in. But they take care of that core fan base. And sometimes when you do that, you're going to not always bring everybody to the fold. But it is Paul Rudd. It is Paul Rudd. People love Paul Rudd, and understandably so. I love Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd's awesome. But I think that is going to bring people in. I think Michael Douglas, Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yes, absolutely.
Two big name actors, two greats. And it says a lot, too, that Marvel decided this was the big one. This is the one we're going to start our fifth phase with and everything. Ant-Man and the Wasp. Like, nobody saw that coming. Nobody really thought of, like, Ant-Man as a major character in the Marvel, you know, cinematic universe or anything. I don't think it's as successful without it being done by Paul Rudd.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's a huge part of it and everything. And it goes back to what Marvel, the two best things Marvel has done that every studio could learn from. They have patience and they cast right.
This
agent's hounding me. And my client's going to be in two movies coming up this year. So you should cast him in this movie because they'll have two movies leading up to your movie.
Right.
Or that kind of thing. No, who's the best person for the role?
Right.
Who fits the role the best? Who's going to really give it a good performance here and make the audience believe those comics they read, it's the same person? They did it with Robert Downey Jr., with Chris Evans. They did it with Chadwick Boseman. I mean, just...
Yeah, it's tastefully done.
I can't think of any time that they've gotten this wrong, in all honesty. And think about, like, over the 20 years they've been making these movies now, I believe 20 years, like, at least 30, 40 movies off the top of my head, all those TV shows, and not one of them can I think of a bad casting decision. They've just done a great job with this. It's pretty interesting, and I'd be very interested to see how the movie does, not just after week one, but going forward, week two, week three. That's the big thing nowadays. It's, okay, you have a great opening week, sure. How many people come back to see your movie? How much does word of mouth help new people see your movie? That's the biggest thing that these companies are looking for nowadays.
Makes sense.
While that's new in your big screen, what about on the small screen? Well, we're going to talk about the upcoming studio theater, main stage production from Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater, A Streetcar Named Desire. That premieres March 3rd. We're going to be talking with the cast today about 10:30 on Morning Magazine. Encourage you to listen to that and also get your tickets right now for that wonderful show, wrctheater.org, wrctheater.org. We'll take a break. We'll come back. How many of you know how to work a map?
Oh.
I'm going to talk about that when we get back. It's a morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to the show, everybody. We hope you're having a fantastic Friday morning out there. Kat and James here with you, and we hope you're having a good one. Let's get into this right now. I think this is an interesting topic. Time moves fast, but technology moves even faster. So it's always fun to check in on what old tech people have never used. Or the old tech that people are still using. For example, in a comprehensive new survey on technology use, 69% of American adults have never sent a telegram. which isn't shocking, but 5% claim that they are still currently sending telegrams.
Oh, well, that's more shocking to me.
Yes, yes, agreed. Yeah, that is pretty, and I think that's pretty cool. Like, yeah. I like that. I think that's interesting. And yes, you can still send old school telegrams, but 5%. Well, maybe people just, you know, kind of are really in a routine of doing that. Mm-hmm. And that's why that keeps going. But I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that is.
Here are some other results. 7% of adults have never sent a letter in the mail. 55% still do.
Wow.
7% is really high to me.
7%.
Never sent anything in the mail.
Right.
Wow.
I mean, like a bill or something? I mean,
you would think.
Right.
11% of adults have never owned a landline phone. 29% still do.
Mm-hmm.
That one seems a little more realistic, but yep. still kind of, whoa, mm-hmm. still like, wow. 18% of adults have never used dial-up internet. 5% still do.
Mm-hmm.
That one's a little different to me. The internet part, like 18% of adults have never used dial-up. That's not too far-fetched.
Right.
That generation's gotten older. They're, you know, adults now. The kids
yeah.
that were with the last kids of dial-up mm-hmm. were kind of adults. So, yeah.
Remember that, like the sound of dial-up?
The fact that, yeah, oh, God, it's like nails on a chalkboard. You were always in a hurry. You were
right.
always in a hurry and waiting
five
for
5 minutes to wait for
yes.
things to upload. And it's funny now. We're like, oh, it's 30 seconds. So I can't handle it.
I'm watching a show on YouTube the other day, and it's right in a good part, and it goes to commercial, and it's just a five second or ten second commercial, and I'm cursing my laptop. Right. I'm like, how spoiled
right.
I've gotten. It took me like a minute or two to realize, like, I was the kid that had to get up and change channels.
Yeah.
I should know better.
Right.
Have some perspective, James.
Like,
what I am bothered by that 5% still using dial-up is how many of them are doing that because they have to, because they're in a rural area,
sure.
and we don't have good broadband internet mm-hmm. throughout our country yet.
Right.
That is something that we have to get on. We don't want to have to play defense on that.
Mm-hmm.
We want to play offense on that. We want that to be a situation of 10, 20 years from now, whew, glad we took care of that
Done.
Broadband situation, because
yep. mm-hmm.
it's not going the other way.
Right.
It's not as if we're going to use less internet mm-hmm. going forward. It's only going to get more and more important.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think in the 50s or 40s, it would be crazy to think of somebody living, no matter where they were, without telephone lines.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be insane.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we're getting with internet,
mm-hmm.
where it's insane to think of somebody living somewhere without good internet connection.
Mm-hmm.
6% of adults have never watched a DVD. Whoa. That one hit. That one hit
yeah.
close to home.
How about VHS? Let's
yeah.
talk about
oh,
that
whoa,
one for a
no,
second.
Oh, that one really made me feel old. That one. Oh, God, I remember VHS. 41% of people still do use DVDs. They're all parents. Because
yeah.
It's such a parent thing, throwing the DVD in
yeah.
and putting it in front, you know, not putting the kid in front of the TV, but having it on in the
oh,
background.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Can I just say something? This might blow your mind right now. So we have like our, what is it? Like where we put like, you know, DVD or VHS or whatever.
Yeah.
We have one that still has a VHS and a DVD.
Oh, nice.
I know. And you're going to be like, what? Okay. Old school.
That's awesome.
Also, our friend gave us like a handful of like old Disney movies or something, and they're
nice.
All in VHS.
Yes.
And I laugh because I'm like, this is huge. It takes up a lot of space.
Yeah.
And like, you can stream pretty much everything now.
Yeah.
But we still have the player for both, and we use it. Which
oh,
is
good.
Also
oh,
hilarious.
Good. Good. Oh,
so we're
good
like, we're weird on that one. We're like, well, we still have it and it works. And hey.
It's a little, that's so great. Thank you so much for sharing that. I think one of the cool things, or I shouldn't say cool, one of the interesting things about that is, you know, we're coming back to vinyl more
yeah.
and more. And really, we've already done this.
Someday we'll come back to VHS.
I think it's the opposite. It's weird that because DVD, VHS, mm-hmm. this stuff, like, it's not as good.
It's true. The quality is way different. It's funny. I'll put something that is a very old movie. It's a 20, 30-year-old movie, and there is a definite difference.
Yeah.
And I know that. And we don't use that all the time. It's just like, well, we have some, we'll just bring out an old school.
I will still watch Clue on VHS because at the end of it, you get all the multiple endings.
Oh,
and it's
sure.
the only way you can get it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've got a lot of like footage that I recorded, like the theater group that I helped run back in high school. We mm-hmm. We had the offshoot called The Con Artists, mm-hmm. where it was just an improv group. Mm-hmm. And we got like 20, 30, 40 tapes of our sketches, which mm-hmm. are all horrible. But I go back and watch them all the time because I learn from them. And they're just fun to look at and
Absolutely.
Stuff and everything. But the quality of vinyl was always so top-notch.
Right.
The only reason we moved on to other things was convenience. But we go back to vinyl because of the quality. We did the same thing with the way we take in movies and TV mm-hmm. shows. But the quality of this stuff nowadays is incredible.
Yes.
I mean, it's amazing.
Absolutely.
The 4K or 3K or whatever they want to use now. I mean, the 19K, I don't know what they're mm-hmm. up to. But it's all impressive. 16% of adults have never played music on a vinyl record player. That's funny. I didn't realize that was next. 18% still do. And younger folks are into it. When broken down by age, 20% of people between 18 and 29 are playing vinyl,
mm-hmm.
while it's just 17% for the rest.
Yeah, I definitely, I think one of Jason's nieces, she's like 15. That's what she asked for Christmas, was like some vinyl. So yeah, it's definitely getting to come back and...
That's pretty cool. 10% of adults have never used a printer at home. 57% still do.
Mm-hmm.
That's not too surprising, but interesting.
Mm-hmm.
15% of adults... 15% of adults have never paid for something with a check. 42% still do.
Mm-hmm. Definitely around here.
Yeah.
But less. I'll say that as like, right, we cash, check, or credit card.
Mm.
Definitely less. More people have moved into, I'll use my... checking card versus a check. Like, we have way less checks nowadays.
Yeah. 21% of adults have never typed on a typewriter. 6% still do. I am one of them.
Oh, fun.
There's something about working on a typewriter for me.
Sound is so great.
Mm-hmm. I get that sound going, mm-hmm. and everything else just, it's just that, me and the typewriter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the only device that does that to me. A pencil, a laptop, anything else. Mm-hmm. I get distracted, or a squirrel, or something like that. For some reason, working on a typewriter, I'm locked in.
And are you doing something specific and not super long? It's more like writing like a poem or something like that.
Yeah.
It's not going to be like you're doing 12 pages of something, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's probably best for the typewriter because it's very old.
Right. So
it's, 9% of adults have never owned a dictionary. 48% still do.
Mm.
That's interesting. That's an interesting one. 15% of adults have never purchased a newspaper. 23% still do.
Mm-hmm.
11% of adults have never used a phone book. 15% still do.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Also, the phone books have gotten so small, small from what they were, and a lot of people aren't in them anymore.
Mm. I guess we could kind of see that coming, but it still surprises me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's still, phone books probably are used more now to like level out a table than they are for, 100%. Being used as a phone book. That's weird.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the bigger ones on it, I did want to say, as far as the newspaper thing goes, that one hurts. I do like newspapers. I do love the industry. What I think of is journalism.
Yeah.
And that's where the greatness of journalism always got to shine.
Yeah.
The essence of journalism being about the story and not about the writer. The idea of, hey, I'm the middle person, giving, just facts and unbiased opinion and everything, and just getting this across. Nowadays, the idea of journalism is more opinion, and opinion has no place in journalism to me, in my opinion.
Yep.
It's kind of funny the way that went.
Mm-hmm.
Just for me, I think it's about, this is, I'm giving you facts, I'm giving you information, and we're moving on to the next topic. Not, here's facts, information, now here's what's wrong about that. Or here's I feel like newspapers always got that right.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas TV news doesn't seem to do that as well.
Agreed.
16% of adults have never used a physical roadmap to get somewhere. 23% still are using them for some, still using them.
Okay, do you have one in your car, James?
Yes. Yes. Now, I don't know the last time I used it, I'll be honest, but it's actually, and it's a little nostalgia for me because it's one my papa had.
Nice.
So I don't even know how accurate it still is. But I have used it at times, and I do encourage my kids to know how to read a map. I know, I'm pretty positive that they do. That's a good one to know.
It is a good one. It's definitely, it's a good skill to have. Okay, so this is a challenge for everybody. You need to plan like a weekend or even just a day, and you have to get to that location with just a map and not your phone.
Would that be
a fun like challenge? And go to an area that you're not familiar with too to see how you get there.
Ooh, that is a cool idea.
You might have to call their like Chamber of Commerce and be like, hey, can you send me a map of your city even? So then you can do the city part of it.
Yeah.
Because a lot of like if you get a Wisconsin map, it's not super detailed in a city. So you have like two layers of that. It's a challenge for everyone now.
Ooh, man, is that a cool idea. I really like that.
Yeah.
I love the idea of doing that too with your kids.
Yes.
And teaching them how to read a map. They're, as a, you know, you can see the kind of what I was saying before about broadband internet and everything. You're not always going to have a connection to MapQuest or whatever you use.
Very true.
Having that map right there, that could be a lifesaver for you. That could be, you know, it. It's part of the reason why I still like, when it comes to really important notes or really important things for the show here or whatever, I'll write it down.
Yeah,
I'll transfer
physical copy.
Yeah, I'll transfer it to my laptop, but I've had too many times where I've written for like all night and then I go back and it didn't save
or something like that. It's the worst.
I still feel that heartache from stuff like that. So I will, I kind of like, I'm a... probably a little bit crazy about it, but I'm a backup guy.
I have
backup upon backup. I do this thing where, especially really important stuff, I will email it to myself and then put it in a folder so that I... I'm not the only one that does this. Okay, good.
Yeah.
I didn't think I was, but I was worried as I was saying it out loud to everybody. there's a balance there with some of this old and new tech.
Yeah.
And that idea you had, I think, is a perfect balance of that. It's a great way to at least get the skill down. Maybe you never need it. That's great. And it could be fun, too. I think that's like almost scavenger hunt-like.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's a really good idea. I like that. We'll take a break. We'll get to Melissa's news. We'll come back and have some more fun here on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Oh, wow. Mornings on WFHR.
Locally grown radio.
We have to...
Our voices have to be very...
very kind, very soft.
Well, it's kindness day, James.
Yeah, it's a very good point. Very good point.
I'm going lower and you're going higher. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. I knew the lyrics were coming up. Enya? I want to say, or Enigma. Or, maybe that's the name of the song.
I think you're right.
Got to be one of the, in the list of like hit song, like pop hit songs, got to be one of the stranger like hit pop songs.
Yeah.
That was one of those, it was a genuine hit.
Right.
Like, it was on, I remember they played on like pop radio stations and things like that. Like, it's weird.
It was the calm of pop. It was just like, I like this. I maybe need more of this.
don't have a lot of that in the history of the pop charts.
No.
You know, a lot of new age music or that kind of thing.
And this
there.
Was new age for then. Like now, it's now maybe more today.
Yeah.
Like pop. Yeah. But it's nice.
That's an interesting point. Yeah, you're right. And nowadays, that would be more of a pop song. Like, but back then, there was a new category, the new age of music and everything. Here's an interesting one, especially as we go into the weekend. Good news for single people. Pretty soon, you'll have a new way to ditch someone in the middle of a bad date. Tell them, sorry, but my app on my phone says the spark just isn't there.
Oh, gosh.
What is going on?
So it's going to listen to your conversations determine your excitement and...
I'm not comfortable with this already. A team at the University of Cincinnati is working on an app that uses AI to tell you if a date is going well or not. Basically, it pairs with wearable technology like your Apple Watch, and it monitors things like your heart rate, breathing, and how much you're sweating. It can tell in real time whether you're actually engaged in a conversation or just faking it. And it can give you feedback on your own quirks, too. For example, it can tell you if the other person finds you boring. The app isn't ready for wide release yet because it's not accurate enough. They tested it on a bunch of people, and it was around 75% accurate in analyzing how well people connected. So pretty good, but not good enough to fully trust it yet.
Yeah. Interesting.
Once it gets better, it could be useful for dating and other stuff too. For example, it could provide real-time feedback for teachers, therapists, and even people on the spectrum who have a hard time socializing.
Yeah.
I don't care about the dating part. Like, I honestly, like, first up, like, I was part of one of my early skills that I learned from a young age, and my uncle from the other side of the tracks learned, mm-hmm. was I was really good at being able to tell when people lie and reading people. Mm-hmm. I've just had a natural instinct for this my whole life, mm-hmm. except for with a girl that is interested in me. I have no idea. I'm like a lot of men out there.
You need a
have
big
no clue.
Sign.
Yep. Uh-huh. And I don't even know if that would work. I don't even know if right in front of you right now, somebody holding up a sign, like, well, there's a lot of Jameses out there. Maybe it's not me. Maybe, and there's lots of guys that are like that.
Oh, yeah.
So I will say that I could see the dating app being beneficial in those ways a little bit. Mm-hmm. If you can't tell if you have a spark with somebody, I feel kind of sad for that. Yeah. You know, because that's something that no algorithm can tell you. That's just something that you feel instinctively.
Right.
You don't get to, I don't think you necessarily get to choose who you love. I think that just happens. I mm-hmm. think that, like, you don't get to pick your friends necessarily. It just mm-hmm. happens. So that part is a little dicey to mm-hmm. me. I love the idea of anything being able to help people on the spectrum.
Yeah.
And the idea of more technology working towards that and trying to be like, hey, how can we help anybody under the Asperger's spectrum?
Yeah.
You know, and working with that. I especially like it because I think as we're going along here and we're realizing more and more about autism, we're realizing, hey, there's a lot of people that are probably dealing with it that were never diagnosed.
Right.
That are in their 40s or 50s mm-hmm. or 60s or 70s or something like that. Yep. And they've just been dealing with this their whole lives and mm-hmm. thinking that there was something wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
When, no, you're a normal human being. Mm-hmm. You just are, you're on the spectrum or something
right.
like that.
Yep. And I'm sure there's a ton of people that are just, you know, little bit, just a little bit.
I think about this a lot. Mm-hmm. Not just with this, but with everything from anything.
Yeah.
Really, from like, the heaviest to the simplest of things, mm-hmm. of how much stuff was not diagnosed for the generations of the 50s, the 60s, and
yes.
that. And it's not as if autism just came, like
right.
just happened.
Mm-hmm.
It's been around forever. Mm-hmm. It's been like cancer or mm-hmm. like a lot of other things. I don't mean to compare it to cancer,
right.
but just throwing examples out there mm-hmm. of things that have been around forever. And how we're dealing with them, how we're learning to adapt to them is kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I think as long as it's not like, I know that was just the headline of it, so it was funny, but like if it's the scapegoat of like, sorry, there's no spark, like I don't think
yeah.
the app, I don't think that's a really wonderful way of using
no,
the app. But
no.
yeah, if you can kind of get a better sense of a reading off of something, and especially if you're not in tune with that yourselves, like sure, why not? I mean,
I
if it helps.
And I don't think, I do think people like having things simplified for them, I don't think people like being told things.
Yes.
And I don't like, say, you know, you're in this date and things are going really good, but the app tells you it's not.
So then you're questioning it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, I don't think that's healthy. I don't
yeah.
think that, you know, the last thing anybody needs, especially in a dating situation and on a first date, is more things to question.
Right. Like, oh, wait, I should check my app to see what's happening. It's been five minutes. It's like, no, I think I agree with you. I definitely. People don't need somebody to tell them what to do, and therefore that app kind of would. And I don't know if I'd like the questioning, because maybe I'd be like, hey, this is an organic conversation. It's been really fun. Yes, I'm sweating because I'm nervous. Or
yeah,
or
yeah.
like, no, I'm just naturally a calm person. Doesn't mean I'm bored and I'm not enjoying this. Like,
right.
I think, yeah. I
can think of some recent friendships in that I've had where part of the reason that we're still talking is because it was so natural and,
mm-hmm.
and comfortable. Like, oh, it seems like we've known each other forever.
Yeah.
I'm sure my heart rate was lower then. It might have
mm-hmm.
seemed like to the app that I'm bored
yep.
when really I'm just comfortable.
Yeah.
That's
a good thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I do like the idea, though, of is maybe being able to, we see this with many, many inventions and ideas, pivoting this.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe not a dating app, but maybe you turn it into something that helps teachers, therapists, and people on the spectrum.
Oh, I like that idea. Yep.
Especially since this is coming not from a big tech company, but a university.
Yeah.
Maybe these kids will see that better than we do,
mm-hmm.
and being able to take it and run with it. I, again, come back to this younger generation, and just, they're getting things done.
Yeah.
Like they are putting in work.
Yeah.
So many of these things are seeing angles on stuff that so many of us just don't.
Mm-hmm.
And the... I think it is really, really admirable and interesting, the hope that exists in that generation, and that the fight that exists in them to expand into, you know, their ideas. And, hey, maybe we should try something like this. And maybe the dating app thing doesn't work, but, ooh, wait, maybe we could use it for something like this.
Sure.
And being able to pivot and not have it be a hit to their pride, but be more like, oh, I just didn't see that. Now I do. Now I have that knowledge. Let's move on. The idea of owning things in society, it's okay to be wrong. It's okay to have a different perspective on something and everything, and being more kosher with all that.
Yep, absolutely.
They seem to have that down much better. Well, we'll take a break. We got to get a That Ain't Right story in, of course. It wouldn't be the show without
it. No, it wouldn't.
We'll have that coming up for you in a little bit. We'll also have some great stories of the day for you to wrap up the show. All that coming up with Katrina and James here on The Morning Show at WFHR. Thanks a lot, Jennifer. We appreciate the updates throughout the whole morning. I think we feel a little more prepared for Mother Nature going forward here. Big shout out to our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Be sure to join us Monday through Friday, not only for serious comedy to start your day, but the greatest weather updates you're going to get from our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. And we go into silly criminals now. That ain't right stories. And this... I've actually almost started a show with this one. It's so good. If this criminal wasn't a convicted, you know, murderer or anything, I'd say the reward for him was we could actually give him a little bit of creativity notes here. There's an inmate in Bolivia named Jose Diaz who's serving 15-year sentence for murder. Nothing funny about that.
Right. Yep.
He also goes by El Arana, which translates to the spider. Earlier this month, Jose was busted trying to escape. Disguised not as a spider, though, as a sheep. He wrapped himself in sheepskin, got down on all fours, and crawled past security, past a wall, and out into the grassland that surrounds the jail in the middle of the night.
Whoa.
Prison authorities didn't catch on until they noticed he was missing from his cell and started searching for him. That's when they saw a strange sheep in the grassland and nabbed him. He's back behind bars. For what it's worth, the guards are blaming his ability to get past the prison wall on bad weather. They're saying that the cameras, you know, there was fog or something like
this. Sure. Right, great for sheep to be out in, you know, foggy weather.
I don't know, like, Bolivia having a lot of sheep or anything, but I'm showing Katrina a picture of this, and it's not as if the guy, like, did, a real great acting job.
No, like, you can see half of his body. It's only on the top torso part of him. Like, how did he get past security from his cell is what I want to know.
Who got him the sheepskin?
Maybe in Bolivia, that's like they get that. Maybe that's part of their comfort for them. But interesting. He was not very good disguise.
I will say this: worth a shot. Yeah. I mean, given a shot. I mean, he's good. He's in prison for life, pretty much. So I mean, it's not they're going to tack a lot onto a sentence here. He didn't try to hurt anybody, so there's that at least.
Right.
However, I feel like this could have used a little more time on the creative wall.
Yeah,
you know, maybe a spitball workshop this
black
one a little bit.
Black pants, maybe or something. You know, more sheepskin.
A little more effort. I'm glad he was caught. I'm glad he's locked back up and everything. We didn't want him to get away.
No.
But I have notes.
You can help him out with it. Oh,
what I think, you know, when this goes, Jose's sentence is not going to be any different. It's just going to get tacked on all this. I can't imagine what it's like being one of those prison guards. You are never living that one down.
No.
I mean, and why a sheep? You know, what part of you thought that you could get away, like the sheep of wolf's clothing? I don't know. Maybe a little of that. I'm not sure.
Probably just like the resources, right? He had the sheep, so he's like, huh, I wonder if this will work.
That might be it. That might be onto something.
I will say creative points on that. Yes.
Got to give him that. I think that's fair. I think that we can do both. We can give him creative points while also being very happy he's still locked up.
Yeah, that's about it. Yeah.
That ain't right, man. Why a sheep? Why? I almost don't want to look because I don't want to know if sheep are common in Bolivia or in that area.
Sure.
I would find it so much more funny if they're not even that common. Like, sheep aren't even around in that area.
Right.
He's still trying to be a sheep.
Like, yes.
It's what, like, around here, you dress up as a deer because we got deer all over the place around here. But it would probably stand out a lot more if you tried to be an armadillo. Like, wait a minute. We don't have armadillos around here. Mm-hmm. What's, it's an inmate.
Yeah. Yep.
I love the idea of him doing this and doing an animal that's not even like a common animal in that area.
Right?
We go to some good stories of the day. Back in 2012, a guy in Vermont named Lloyd Devereaux Richardson published a novel called Stone Maidens, but it didn't sell very well. As of last week, it was ranked 1,452nd among thrillers and suspense novels on Amazon. He's 74 now and sort of gave up on it. But 10 days ago, his daughter posted a TikTok of him at his desk, said it would be great if he could get some sales. And the other day, he took his number one, his book hit number one on Amazon's bestseller list.
Whoa.
Before all this, Lloyd hadn't even heard of TikTok. His daughter's video has now racked up 44 million views. It's a beautiful video of seeing this happen. And as somebody who not only is a writer, but more importantly, has two children that are writers and a daughter who you can buy her books right now on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, B.A. McRae. You can go look her up, B.A. McRae. That's Bria's pen name. Mm-hmm. She's an amazing author. And my son, very good as well. Mm-hmm. That hits the home to me.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Right?
Way to go to both of them, especially to his daughter.
Right.
Nicely done.
Thinking about that and reaching out a different audience, which is so cool.
That got my heart. That warmed me up. That was good. Cops in Georgia pulled an elderly woman from a burning home, and there's chest cam footage of the whole thing.
Wow.
Yeah, you want to watch that video and make sure to, you know, be prepared for it because it's emotional. But she does get out. Yes, yes. But she gets through it and everything.
Wow.
And her reaction is only topped by their reaction.
Hmm.
A group in Tampa called the Rogue Riders, great name, are in the news for handing out over 10,000 teddy bears to kids every year. Not just this year. They do this every year.
Wow.
I've heard about them before. And yeah, again, great name. And they do some really cool work. There are so many kids out there that are benefited by these kind of stories and by people doing these things.
Mm-hmm.
And for every story like this that we cover and that we hear, I always like thinking about how many go on that we don't know about.
Oh, of course, right? There's so many out there that we're not realized or we're not connected to, or maybe they didn't make the headlines, right? You know, it's like there's so many of those great ones, even like local ones around here that maybe at a bank they're giving this to the children's hospital if you buy this stuffed animal. I've seen that around, and there's a lot of those great ones.
It's another reminder to us that we know there are good stories out there, especially local ones. We love to hear them. Please, you know, be sure to share them with us.
Yeah.
A bunch of Valentine's Day stories have been rolling in. A couple on Long Island renewed their wedding vows after 72 years of marriage. Oh, that got me. A couple in Phoenix officially called off their divorce on Valentine's Day and decided they're not giving up on love yet.
Nice.
It's really cool. That's the opposite of what
we
normally see.
Yeah, exactly.
Good on them. A couple in Georgia released footage from their Ring doorbell camera that's caught every major milestone in their relationship, from their first date to the guy carrying the woman across the threshold when they got married.
Oh.
Ooh.
Fun.
That is really
cool. Never
thought
about that.
Yeah. That is very cool. And if you've never heard this story, it's nuts. A couple in Allentown, Pennsylvania named Tony and Francis Toto are celebrating 57 years of marriage this year, even though Francis hired a hitman to kill Tony back in 83. They actually tried multiple times using a bunch of different stuff and everything, and he survived it all. But the first thing he did after 12 days in the hospital was bail her out of jail. She spent 4 years behind bars, and they talked on the phone every day. Tony admits he wasn't the greatest husband, and they weren't communicating well. But after lots of counseling, they have a great marriage now. Back in 1990, their story was made into a movie, I Love You to Death, Kevin Kline, Tracy Altman.
Oh,
good movie.
Yeah.
Good movie. Good 80s movie.
Uh-huh.
I mean... It's weird to say, but that's a very romantic story, actually.
Yeah.
Like, it's a little bit of
a twisted one.
Yeah, but it's still a pretty good story, and that is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And a nice way to wrap up Love Week here as we get done with Valentine's Day. And we remind everybody that it is National Acts of Kindness Day.
Mm-hmm.
Keep that in mind. Also, keep in mind another great good story of the day going on this weekend at Historic Point Boss. Mm-hmm. Wakely's Winter Feast going on.
Yes.
The feast will feature two domestic meats, various wild games, and other delicacies Cheese from Mary's Kitchen. The meal will be followed by entertainment. This is going on Saturday. The gathering will begin at 4 p.m., the feast at 4:50, and the program will kick off about 6:30 over at the Nakusa Area Senior Community Center at 416 Crestview Lane in Nakusa. You can get tickets for this at Daily Drug, Beaver's Variety Store in Nakusa, and of course, Family Natural Foods right here in Rapids.
Mm-hmm. And shout out to that. That event is so fun. If you have a taste for wild game or you want to try something new, such a fun event. All of the community that puts the Wakely on, they do such hard work. They've built all the buildings that are there, the structures, and really making it to the era. My dad has put a lot of sweat and time and history into that one right there. Such a cool event. Really fun.
They don't get to do a lot of fundraisers over there. So when you go to this event, not only are you getting a very original, awesome, great tasting meal, you are investing in your community. You are investing in the future.
And history, too. And history. Right? It's both.
Keeping history alive over there is one of the things that they're doing, and you're helping them do that.
Yes.
You can find out more going to historicpointboss.com. Be sure to get your tickets. And you can get tickets at Family Natural Foods, where we want to encourage you to head on over, for especially this time of year, with taking care of your immune system. Of everything from you to your little ones to your furry friends. They got it all over there. We were talking earlier about some of the fun meats that they have. There is something for everybody over at Family Natural Foods. I encourage you to head on over to 910 West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids. Their doors are open right now. Head on over there and wish them a good morning from us.
Yeah.
We got hockey on the radio dial tonight. Both stations on WIRI, River Kings Hockey hosting Minnesota Mullets, Roll Kings. And at 7:30 tonight on WFHR, Wisconsin Men's Hockey versus Michigan State on Wisconsin. This weekend, the Sunshine Polka Show, 7 in the morning tomorrow. Be sure to catch it. And, of course, on Sunday, join us for Seth Faces Music from 6 to 8. Got a mysterious theme this week. That should be a good one. And join us for Director's Cut right after that from 8 to 9. Chase Quinches joining us. Great local musician. Looking forward to you guys hearing that.
Nice.
Katrina, always fun hanging out with
always
you.
Always fun.
Thanks so much for this. That was a lot of fun. You have a good weekend.
You too.
Have a good weekend, everybody. We'll be back with more morning show next week right here on WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.